Assalamualaikum and welcome to the Contact Lens podcast, an initiative by the NUS Muslim Society. Here, we create short and honest episodes dedicated to making the unfamiliar familiar. Without further ado, let's get started. So before we start the episode, this is just a disclaimer for death. This podcast discusses topics surrounding death and may be emotionally challenging. Please engage in self-care as you listen to this podcast. Feel free to take break if some parts become uncomfortable for you. Assalamualaikum everyone, I'm Hidayah.
And I'm Sabrina. We'll be accompanying you for today's episode. Yeah, so what are we going to be talking about today, Hidayah?
So in this topic, today we'll be discussing on loss and grief. So why we choose to discuss on this topic is because death is inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So losing a loved one is one of the many major trials that we'll face in life. And grief from that loss is a natural reaction that takes a different route for different people. And in fact, our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, experienced countless moments of grief throughout his lifetime. And all of our prophets, they have their moments of grief documented in the Quran, in the Hadith, showing us that it is a very real human experience and we are not alone.
Yeah, so thank you for the Hidayah. So today we'll actually be talking about the importance of normalizing grief and understanding how it works within an Islamic context, and also understanding more about how we as university students can navigate that grief with positive coping strategies for ourselves and also for our families. And the last one would be more of the Islamic or general etiquette in dealing and overcoming with this loss. Okay, so I think firstly, we can start with some personal stories from us lah. Yeah, so maybe have you ever lost a loved one and how do you cope with it?
So I have lost a very close loved one, which is my father. Yeah, I lost him when I was 14 years old. At that point of time, there were so many emotions, and it was very overwhelming for me. So obviously, I felt sad. I felt lost because it's a huge, a loss for me. It's because it's someone that you've grown up with for almost like your entire whole life. So how I did manage to cope it, well, it doesn't take, it's not like straight away I was fine with it. Yeah, it takes time, but definitely the grief is still there, but life still goes on. So how about you, Sabrina? Did you ever experience losing a loved one before?
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing, Hidayah. I think it must have been a very huge loss, especially at such a young age, at 14 years old. And I get how you feel. And for me, it would be my grandmother. I think I was brought up by her ever since I was young, and we usually like cook together. She will like listen to my problems about my issues with my parents and whatnot, right? She'll be the one to hear also. So I think she passed on when I was in J1. I still remember like I was in school. Then after that, my mom called me. She was like, no, Nick, dah tak ada. She's gone already. After that, I still remember on the way home, I was like, I cannot like really fathom it. Fathom is the correct word. Like she's gone, you see. Yeah, my friend for my life, right, is gone. Yeah. How I coped with it, I think alhamdulillah I had a good support system. I think as what you mentioned, the grief is still there, but life still goes on, right? So with that life going on, I think my support system being my parents and also my cousins, I think they shared that grief with me and I was able to talk about the nice memories I had with my grandma Yeah, so I think whenever we have family gatherings, we'll like bring up about like her antics and how like she always make jokes, how like she always cook for us and whatnot. So I think it really like brings her presence even though she's not really here with us anymore Yeah. And I think I recently read an article from Yakin Institute titled Coping with Grief, a Spiritual and Psychological Guide. And I think like this framework, they introduce this typical stages of grief model. I think you've heard before, like the denial, anger, and acceptance. And I think personally for me, like I don't really, I know the stages name, but I don't know what it consists of, like the actual process of each like stage, you see. Yeah, so this was a very insightful article for me. And I think our listeners may really relate to our stories and would like to know more about the model. And I think before we like go into the different stages, I think it's important to realize that these stages are not linear and may not happen in order for many of us. Yeah, so I think for you and me, we take different amounts of time for each stage. So it's important to go at the pace which is more comfortable for you. I think maybe I can just share about the first stage, which is denial. Yeah, so I think denial is that is the automatic response, like they're really gone. It's like they feel this void in your, they feel this space in your life, right? Then suddenly they are gone. Then it's like, huh? Like, I think it's a completely normal and anticipated reaction as humans. And I think also I would say reaction is seen also in the when the Prophet peace be upon him died, and actually Umar radiallahu anha, which is his senior companion and father-in-law, actually struggled with denial as well. So it was narrated that Umar stood up and said, "By Allah, Allah's messenger, peace be upon him, is not dead." And he also later on said that nothing occurred to my mind except that. And he also said, "Verily, Allah will resurrect him and he will cut the hands and legs of some men." So as you can see, even our most notable Khalifas also experienced this sort of denial. Cannot really believe that it happened to me. Why? You see? Yeah. So I think it's also important to note that this sort of grief may become unhealthy when actually one begins to question why this happens to me, you see. Yeah, so I think after denial, then comes the next stage of anger.
So I might share a bit. So just like what you mentioned, denial, you tend to question on why is he the one leaving me kind of thing. And sometimes that feeling can be accompanied with anger. So the reason why we can be angry is because usually this anger feeling is to protect us from the more painful emotions, right? Like we feel during the times of loss and grief, such as, sometimes we feel anxiety, loneliness, confusion. But when you feel angry, that grief can be very unhealthy, like you mentioned, when one becomes very spiteful, very vengeful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should acknowledge that we are feeling angry, but we should not react in anger. So just like the Prophet Muhammad reminded us, when one of the most profound benefits of this trait, when he said, "Whoever controls his anger at the time when he has the means to act upon it, Allah will fill his heart with contentment on the day of resurrection." So this is taken from the hadith collection of Sahih al-Jami' number 6518. Yeah, so after anger, maybe you want to discuss about the bargaining stage?
Yeah, so I think after all those very strong wave of emotions, right, you start to ask if only I did this with her, if only I said sorry to her before she passed on and whatnot, right? So I think it's sort of a lot of regret that comes up lah. So a lot of these if only statements come up. And I think as humans, you also want life to go back to the way it was before the loss. So you're so focused on the past, it's we cannot grasp the current present that they're gone already. Yeah, so actually I think what helped me overcome that sort of regret towards the passing of my grandma is the advice that our prophet gave to us is that he actually advised us against having these if only thoughts that actually inevitably bring up more pain and also more anger in us. Yeah, so I think he also mentioned to us that if anything befalls you, do not say, "If only I had done such and such." Rather say that Allah has decreed and whatever he wills, he does. So I think perhaps for a more practical take towards it, to overcome that bargaining stage is actually to be conscious of our thoughts, I'm feeling this sort of regret, and maybe go back to the root cause of why I'm feeling that way. So it's more of controlling and be more conscious of your thoughts through reframing. Because I think, I don't know whether you feel the same way, it's losing them felt like a punishment from him, Yeah. Why me?
Why me?
Yeah, right. So I think we can keep in mind like a story from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Sirah, when his wife Aisha asked him about the plague at that point in time lah. So he said that it's a punishment that Allah sends upon whoever he wills, but Allah has made it a mercy for the believers. I'm gonna cry. Okay, wait. So any servant who resides in a land afflicted by plague, remaining patient and hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that nothing will befall him except what Allah has decreed, will be given the reward of a martyr. Wait, how to spell? M-A-R-T-Y-R. Okay.
Martyr.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So I think, yeah, it's like, he's the most, he's merciful lah. Yeah. Inshallah. Okay, so I think next after, so we've talked about denial, anger,
bargaining,
yeah. And the next one would be
depression.
Yeah.
Which I think after someone's loss, or we will definitely feel depression.
Yeah.
I think there's this empty feeling, very hollow feeling in our own self.
Okay.
Because that's when that most of us will fully realize that the loss that we're feeling is really real.
Yeah.
You know? So that's when all the intense feelings of like hopelessness or sadness, loneliness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's also when you'll start to realize that hey, these feelings are normal and you're not the only one going through this alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mention some hadith that when Prophet witnessed his from Sahih al-Bukhari, when the Prophet witnessed his young son Ibrahim taking his final breath, he began to cry and was questioned about this. In response to being questioned about his tears and clear sadness, the Prophet said, "This is mercy."
Mm-hmm.
Then he wept more and said, "The eyes are shedding tears and the heart is grieved, and we will not say except what pleases our Lord, O Ibrahim.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, you are grieved by your separation." So I think this stage might be very relatable to most of us, the depression stage.
Definitely.
But of course, after depression, we will definitely move on to the next stage, which is acceptance, to fully realize and fully accepting the reality.
Correct. Yeah, so I think what you mentioned that after that depression stage, all of those like all sort of emotions that come to us, it's like we finally realize that, accept the reality lah, that this person is physically gone and that we cannot be focused on the past anymore. Like, we have to move on. As what you said, like, life still goes on, but the grief is still there, right? And then, you have to accept that this new reality is the permanent reality lah. Yeah, so I think it takes... It took quite a while for me to accept that she was...
Yeah.
My grandmother was gone lah. Because I think for me, I was still in J1, you see. So I was like, I didn't know how to navigate my feelings at that point in time. Like, because it's like routine, you see. Like, whenever I go home, there'll be like food for me. Like, she'll like talk to me. She'll greet me at the door. Then it's like, it took a long time for me to accept that that person wouldn't be there for me at the door to greet me anymore. Yeah, so I think that really like, okay, I wanted to say screw me over, but no, it's like, it was difficult for me lah. Yeah, so I think perhaps to provide some assurance to ourselves and also to the listeners is that it was narrated that Abu Hurairah said, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, "The strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, although both are good. Strive for that which will benefit you and seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not feel helpless." And I think like when I was reading this hadith, right, the common concept of his mercy keeps on coming up. Yeah, so like the fact that he allowed us to like feel our emotions and also like not really like disregarding that we cannot feel this kind of feelings, you have to move on with life straight away. It's like he shows his mercy and love to us, like even though like we lost someone so important in our lives, right? Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still there to support and provide us with that love and guidance lah, mashallah. Yeah, so I think we've talked about acceptance. So the last step would be finding meaning.
Finding meaning. So it's when you find a way to sustain your love for the person after their death while you're moving forward to your life. I guess we all can relate to that. So after losing someone, it's how you're going to move forward with your life. Because the grief, it will be there, but it's how your life will grow bigger around that grief, you see. So you can consider finding meaning by creating changes in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the loss of someone or something dear to you can actually often lead to re-evaluating your priorities in life.
Yeah.
So when the Prophet Muhammad was asked which of the believers is best, he replied, "The one who remembers death the most and is best in preparing for it. Those are the wisest, allowing these loss to push you towards positive changes in your life."
Yeah.
It's one of the most profound ways of creating you, which I can relate because after the loss of my father, I was trying to navigate. I was still schooling.
Yeah.
Secondary two, it was quite young. So I was trying to navigate. What do I need to do next?
Correct.
You know, I still need to continue to study, to do my very best.
Correct.
Yeah. So I should not just, you know, like continue grieving, but maybe to continue to find meaning in my life.
Yeah.
You know, to still make myself proud, to make everybody around me proud as well. Yeah.
Understand. I think, mashallah, like, I think your father would be very proud of you, of how far you've come and whatnot. Yeah, okay. So I think, like, to summarize the six stages of grief would be, the first one would be denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance, and finding meaning. Yeah, so I think, like, with a better understanding of, like, of this general, like, cycle, right? Like, I think as students, we can be more conscious of how to navigate, like, that sort of grief, when dealing with the death of a loved one and whatnot. Yeah, so I think moving on, maybe Hida, you can share, like, from the Prophet's life stories, right? Like, what is, like, the general... What are some actions that we can emulate from our Prophet, peace be upon him, when he dealt with, like, the loss of his loved ones and all?
Yeah, so when we look through the Prophet's life as a guide, so examples of the losses that our Prophet endured would be the loss of both his wife Khadijah radiallahu anha and his uncle Abu Talib, which is on the year of sorrow.
Mm-mm.
Another example would be the death of 6 out of 7 of his children during his lifetime. So you can see from here, our Prophet, peace be upon him, also had losses in his life, throughout his life. So the way our Prophet actually expressed his grief, and something that we can actually follow, would be that just like us, our Prophet actually wept, cried, he felt sadness, you know, just like all of us.
Yeah.
But even throughout in his grief, he taught us to be patient, and that's very important. And to only say things that pleases Allah, you know, to not say things like, why me, well, you know, or why is it only me, you know, why am I being tested like this, you know, that kind of thing.
Correct.
And there's sabar, obviously, because when we observe sabar or patience, does not mean that we cannot cry, we cannot grieve. Of course we can.
Yeah.
It's a normal thing, and we should acknowledge that we can grieve. Yeah, because just like I've mentioned, when just now when his son Ibrahim passed away, he also had tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
Our Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him. But of course, we must not hit ourselves, you know, cry excessively, and most importantly, we should not question Allah's decree as well. So another thing maybe is we should be patient upon receiving the news of a loved one's death. And a hadith encourages us to utter the words of istirja, which is inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un, which means surely we belong to Allah and verily to him do we return. So these are some takeaways from how we can take Prophet Muhammad as a way of expressing his grief as an example. So after we talk about how we can express our grief, maybe do you want to share how do you take care of yourselves when you grieve?
Okay. Yeah. So I think, like, maybe I can just relate to my own story also. I remember, like, the day after that, I had to immediately go back to school and pretend that everything was normal. So, like, I didn't really have that a lot of time to, like, go through the stages of grief and really, like, how to say, like, formulate my thoughts and wrap my head around it. Yeah, so I think what a Quran verse that really stuck with me throughout that time was from chapter 94 verses 5-6. I think this one is a more popular verse lah, which is that I reminded myself that this grief or this depression stage will not last forever, and I just reminded myself that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that for indeed with hardship will be ease, and another time, indeed, with hardship will be ease. And maybe some like practical tips for our listeners is that to make sure that your basic needs are met is that you actually go to school on time, spend time with your own family, your friends, and also ensure that you get your sleep and also eat healthily, eat your meals. Like don't skip meals, like it's not good, okay? Like please have your breakfast, lunch, dinner, and whatnot. And also I think it's a good reminder that if we are feeling depressed or fatigued, especially from the loss of a loved one, it is okay to take time off. Like your body and well-being are an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you need to take care of. And a reminder that taking time off doesn't mean that we are lazy or neglecting others. Yeah, so I think it serves as a beautiful reminder lah, that like our body and well-being is an amanah from Him. And it just shows how much mercy and love He has for us. MashaAllah. Yeah. So I think we've talked about how to take care of ourselves, right? Perhaps we can take another perspective of it, like how to help someone who is grieving while you are grieving yourself. Maybe you can share more about that.
So that's also very important, I guess, because you're not the only one grieving.
Yeah.
There are other people around you that's also grieving.
Correct.
So other than how do you take care of yourself, how do you take care of them also?
Mm-mm.
So for me, providing support to others, they can be very difficult because different people, as you mentioned, they grieve differently.
Correct.
Yeah, so one thing is to support them. And you can be there to comfort them as well, but most importantly is to support them by helping with whatever they need.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and I think avoid cliche statements.
Correct.
You know, like, everything is okay. This shall pass.
Yeah,
you
know? That made me even angry.
Very cliche, yes. As mentioned, you feel very angry. Because, well, these statements, of course, everything will be okay and it will pass, but it might be, it might actually anger the people who are grieving because they cannot stand hearing such cliche things, right?
Yeah.
So, and this can actually cause them to feel more resentment and make them to feel to isolate themselves.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so maybe you also want to ask how they wanted to be supported.
Correct.
Because different people want to be supported in different ways. Some of them maybe to be help them with maybe with their kids, with their groceries, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, very importantly for me is to make dua for them. You don't have to say to them that you're going to make dua for them. You can make it in private. Yeah, it's very important. So you can make dua for the bereaved, asking Allah Ta'ala to grant them reward in return to their loss. And then, also, it's also while you're supporting them, I guess, like as you mentioned, it's important not to neglect your own self.
Yes.
Also, do not neglect your family as well.
Yeah.
So it's to support each other.
Mm-mm.
I guess supporting and comforting is very important when you're having a loss and as well as when you're grieving.
Correct. Yeah, I think with everything that we've mentioned, I truly found comfort in our conversation today. Yeah, I think I really hope that our listeners also seek comfort and solace from our stories and also our sharings about how to support others, how to support ourselves, and also how to navigate that grief. So, I think from the sharing today, we know more about how to navigate grief from the loss of a loved one with positive coping strategies, and also some general etiquette in dealing and overcoming with this loss.
So, I think it's also important to know that while grief can pose challenges to our faith, it does not contradict our faith. That one is very important. Because we know from our prophet that grief is a natural and acceptable way to cope when we are faced with loss, and that this grief can actually bring us closer to Allah. And one thing that I like to emphasize as a reminder is that you might think that that grief grows smaller over time, but actually in reality grief stays the same size, but slowly life begins to grow bigger around it.
Yep.
So life still moves on.
Mm-mm.
So with that, do you want to end off with a
hadith? Okay. So I think like a nice hadith to just wrap this podcast up is, sorry, not a hadith, it's from Surah Al-Baqarah verses 155 to 157, is that Allah SWT mentioned that who, when afflicted with calamity, say, truly to Allah we belong and truly to Him we shall return. So there are those on whom are the salawat, which is who are blessed and will be forgiven from their Lord. and they are those who receive His mercy, and it's they who are the guided ones.
So with that, we've come to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and supporting us. We hope that we provided you with some context and you've learned as much as we have.
If you like this episode, please follow us on Spotify and Instagram at contextlens.mp3 and share it with your family and friends. We are also open to any questions, suggestions, or even your thoughts. Just drop us a DM on Instagram and we'll be happy to see things from your lens. With that, thank you until we meet again. Assalamualaikum!